That one's in the.
Okay, so the bottom is free, it's like.
Break, unless it's like taped down or something.
Well, you just pick a.
Fairies are just.
They're about.
Pounding dirt. That's what the art.
I would sit here, I guess, man.
I like the line.
Live, okay.
Okay.
Is it ready anytime? Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody who made it in this morning. This morning's share, we entitled Eretz Yisrael at War, Wartime Halachos, and this is part two. We've done already a few shaylos about in halacha what to do at a time of war, and I figured we need another installment. Now, really, where we are right now, already into third plus week of Eretz Yisrael at War. You look around, you know that means practically we've been saying Tehillim nonstop. 3 weeks. This is something that drags on. Even in the news media, it's a top story, but you know, they'll slip in other stuff too, just to mix it up. Lav Davka, the focus that everybody has. And all these things have some trickle effect on us. And we definitely need to do things to be mechazek, to focus ourselves on what we need to do, what Klal Yisrael needs at this time. And for that alone, I think it's kedai, it's worthwhile to have a shir about wartime halachos. It makes us think about it, makes us focus on it, and for that alone, it's good. There's a secondary reason, which is very interesting. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, besides the idea that he talks famously about of learning Musar, Musar Bespailos, learning Musar with inspiration, but he also talks about the effects of learning something with depth. When you learn Torah on a topic that you'd like to strengthen, if you learn that topic in depth, it'll help out better. For example, a person feels that, you know, I need a better Zrizos, I need more chizuk in my kibbut of aim. So Rabbi Salanter would say, learn halachos kibbut of aim. You learn that in depth. Learn it not just, you know, short halachos, but if you learn the sources, understand the Gemaras and Kedushin, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mefarshim, and the Achronim, the Rishonim, everyone, that would get, when you delve into something, it makes an impact on you. So similarly, today, anytime we do these halachos about war, it makes the situation have more of an impact on us. And even if over time, naturally, these things ebb out, but if we delve into halacha, then it's part of us. So I put together a few different shilas about the war. To be honest, when I made this topic, which is just a general topic, wartime halachas, I didn't specify what we're talking about, I actually had a few different things in mind. Over Shabbos, I came across some more shilos that I saw, and I swapped the whole topic. I think I have a share for next week already. But this is the way these things work. We'll see. It's a lot of time until next week. But I came across some fascinating shilos, which I'd like to talk about, which really are Nyan Adiyoma. One of the first questions I was asked when the war started, and it's relevant to, obviously, many, many people, is in general, people now going off to Eretz Yisrael. To travel to Eretz Yisrael at a time of war, what's the halachas about that? In particular, a lot of these shilas come about with Yeshiva Bachrim. Yeshiva Bachrim learning currently in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshiva Bachrim who are home for Sukkos, traveling back, 2 hours is all traveling. What do we say? Is now a time that Yeshiva Bachrim should go off to learn in Eretz Yisrael? or not. And things get complicated when you add to the count, there could be differing opinions within one household. The child wants to go learn in Eretz Yisrael, and the parents object. What would you say the halacha is in such a case? As a parent, did you want to weigh in on that?
Full rank. The parent's always right. Stars.
Ruben, it's good you're here.
Ruben, yeah, already.
Right?
But I want to speak on the question.
Yeah.
Which is it a different question if you have a daughter who's in seminary who came back and wants to go back?
Right. Very, very interesting question. I'll tell you where I start from. I want to read off a question that was submitted. I found Rav Azriel Orbach, who's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son. I believe he's a son-in-law of Rav Yashav. And he's considered today one of the biggest poskim in the world. So he was asked multiple shilas on this. Give credit to Rav Daniel Travis, who has a kol on Eretz Yisrael, who asked him these questions. The question was phrased, I'm a younger man living in Eretz Yisrael with my wife, who happens to be Israeli. We came to New York for Sukkot, and then the war started. My parents refused to let me go back to Eretz Yisrael because of the danger. Person writes, I know the halacha is that if your parents do not let you go to yeshiva, you don't have to listen to them. My question is, may I disobey them, their request, and go back to Eretz Yisrael anyway? Very interesting question. It's true, there's a halacha and we'll see in a moment, in Hilchos Kibbutz Avayim, that there are a few areas that if there's a dispute between the parent and the child, a child does not necessarily have to listen to the parents. So the questioner here is asking, look, I learned in Kol in Eretz Yisrael, I'm here now, my parents don't want me to go back, but it's for Limud Torah, so could I go back anyway?
Are there alternative places he could be learning here?
Okay.
But it's not.
And then you also have the issue of he's married and his wife wants some of these.
Good point. You're right. This is complicated, right? He's married. Right? He threw in his in-laws are living in Eretz Yisrael. Yes?
They're not telling him to not go back to learn. They're telling him not to go back because it's not safe. If it was telling him don't go learn, then that would be a whole different story.
Very good point. Very good point. So I want to first go through the basic halachas of this shiloh, and then go through the psak in this particular shiloh, and then we'll reflect to other cases too. Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, Simon Reish Mem, Hilchos Kibbutz Avayim writes the following. It's the middle of the sif there. Talmud Shirotz Alachas Makom Acher. Talmud wants to go to a different place. Shibotech Sheyiris Simon Bracha B'Talmudo of Nea Rav Shasham. If you go to Rav Arsha Arieli's share in the mirror, if he would go to this yeshiva, he would be, he's certain he's going to do b'matzleich over there. V'avid mochebo, the father objects. V'yishadolik shavos a year over the chav ma'lilim. There could be problems over there.
Problems here.
Einot tzarech l'shmo l'avid b'zeh. You don't have to listen to your father. So right there, the simple halacha, child wants to learn. The father has some objection. It's not an objection that he doesn't want him to learn. It's an objection that he doesn't want him to learn there.
Who's paying for the yelling?
Right?
Spoken as
right?
True accountant.
That was a good line. It's true. Okay. Who's paying for the airline ticket?
Well,
see? So, Eina Tzarek L'shmala of the Bezet. The Mechaber writes, one does not need to listen to one's father in such a case. The Chain, I'll read the Ramah, Ima of Moche Beben Lisa Eza Isha. Important to know. There's an objection about who to marry. The father, mother object to him marrying a certain woman. You don't have to listen to the parent. These are two major exceptions. Limud Torah and getting married. A child does not necessarily have to listen to a parent. Now, it's interesting. What's the source for this? Where do we know such halacha? If you look on the underneath there, Kuf Mem Hei, it's a modern day sefer, wrote the Ha'aros. points on the Shulchan Aruch. He brings the sources, the Talmud Torah, Doche, Mitzvah, Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. The halacha is, the Talmud Torah in general pushes off Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. Can we see Yaakov Avinu, L'Nenesh, Yudal Shana, Shalom, Abis, Shem Ve'Eiver. We find by Yaakov Avinu, coming up in the next few weeks, Parshios, Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years in Shem Ve'Eiver, did not do Kibbut Av Ve'Eim for those years, yet he didn't get punished. So we see from there the halacha, that one is allowed to learn even at the expense of Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. So he's not going to do Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. He's literally disobeying the parent in the Shulchan Aruch's case, right? In Yaakov Avinu's case, he wasn't necessarily disobeying his parents. He just wasn't doing Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. Here, this is a flat-out means of disobeying. Halacha learns that there's such a din that one does not have to listen to one's parents when it comes to Kibbut Av Ve'Eim and Talmud Torah. It's also true by Kibbut Av Ve'Eim and Shidduchim, you don't have to listen to your parents. But Kibbut Av Ve'Eim and Talmud Torah is such a halacha. Right. If there's a difference between, if the parents themselves are debating whether you should go to learn or this Shidduch, yeah, that's a Shalom Bayis issue. Right? The Gemara does talk. If your father tells you to do one thing and your mother tells you to do something else, Gemara says you should listen to your father over your mother. Because your mother also has to listen to one's father, to her husband. Right? Be careful how you say that one over. Right, right. It was, I think by the Yaakov Avinu's case, it wasn't Yitzhak told him not to go to learn. You know, he wanted him also to learn. But the pshat was, he was being mevatel Kibbut Av Ve'Eim. So the halakha doesn't make a difference whether the bittul comes passively or actively. It seems to keep it the same.
Funny, money also, that's because it wasn't being menashed. If it's not being menashed, it means that's the right thing to do.
Oh, okay, right. Right. But that's the Shulchan Aruch source for one to be able to learn even at the expense of disobeying one's parents. Now, in general, what's the point of learning out of town, or going away to learn? So the Shulchan Aruch made a point of saying, there's a great Rebbe, there's someone who the learning will go very well over there. If you look at the Chassam Sofer, he adds another point. Let's say, just Lav Dafka, let's say there's a greater Rebbe here in town versus learning out of town. Still the Chassam Sofer writes, if you look at the end, he writes, this is something that's gone on for generations. They would leave their houses. There's a point to separate oneself, go and learn. You're away from the distractions. Sometimes it's a good thing for a kid to get out of the parents' house. Hot, yeah.
Big mistake.
So there's something to getting out of the house, and that alone is also a cheshbon, the Chassam Sofer writes, for a child to go learn out of town versus in town. It's not just necessarily a better Rebbe, a better environment for him. It's good to get out. Doesn't mean necessarily right after 12th grade. They bring from Rav Yashav another point. What happens if you're not even sure it'll be better? Like a lot of these times, these things are arbitrary. Is my learning going to be better if I learn in Eretz Yisrael? Not sure. Really, part of these shilas come about. These are very relevant shilas. A lot of the major yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael opened up satellite yeshivas in America, in the New York area. Yeshivas that opened up in Lakewood, in New York, the five towns. And also, the yeshivas opened up upstate. For example, the Mir Yeshiva took over a nice campground with a big base of Medrash, and they were learning there. So they had, right. But these are winterized places. Yeah. So they had hundreds of Talmidim sitting and learning upstate, no distractions, right? They have the milo, they're away from home. No distractions, right? Perfect hair, right? If you look by the mirror, there's more distractions than wood burn at this time of the year. So these yeshiva bachim went away. And, you know, it's a good shaila if they have a situation here where you have rebbeim, you have people you can learn from, versus over there, okay, maybe over there will be a little better. How do you wait? You're not sure. So the halacha brings, well, Yosha says it's beferish in the Os Dal in the bottom. Im yesh safik sheyir bracha b'limudo, ir acheres, even if there's a safik, if your learning will be better in a different city, mogel halacha safil neged ratzon avivinu. Even if it's a suffix, one would be allowed to leave to a different place because the Lamaisa, it might be better for your learning. That's how far this din goes, that one would be allowed to leave and disobey a parent for learning, even if it's not guaranteed the learning would be better there. So that does give a lot of leverage for the question that was asked there. Look, he's a younger man, he's a married person, he's settled in Eretz Yisrael. He happened to come back for his parents to New York for Sukkos. So his parents want him to stay. But there's a good chance, okay, go to Lakewood, but there's a good chance that his learning is better in Eretz Yisrael. Even for Suffolk, simply, one might argue that, he could. He should go back to Eretz Yisrael. Yes. Not finished yet.
Learning aside, isn't there a mitzvah just to go to Eretz Yisrael by itself? So if you throw that into the mix, is it just one more straw in the
So I'll get back to the question, really, that comes on to the other question about seminary and other things. But L'maisa Rav Azriel Orbach Paskin Pumfer Keret. He should stay in America. Because
is this talking about like putting yourself in danger, or what is this talking about? It doesn't say anything about it.
Yes.
It doesn't say why the father's telling him not to go.
I don't know how safe it is here. Especially if you've got to go to
college. Yeah, Lamaisa.
Still need something danger
here. Right, Rav Azriel Orbach Lamaisa Sof Paskins in this case. That one would not be allowed to leave to disobey his parents and go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. He would have to stay over here in America. And his cheshbon is, the maisa sof ko sof, it's dangerous. There's an element of pikuach nefesh going to Eretz Yisrael. And as long as there is some suitable learning here, it doesn't say it has to be better or as good, but something here. Israel Orbach is right to paskin that people have no right to disobey parents in this situation. They would have to stay. It's interesting. There definitely are others that paskin, you know, that say otherwise. You know, a few of these yeshivas, the Rosh Yeshiva took responsibility, took achrayas. You know, hey, come back to yeshiva. I'm taking responsibility for that. But, you know, obviously parents, you know, have a right to ask a shayla. Israel Orbach is paskin, not so pashut. Thinks people should stay in America, and he's there in Eretz Yisrael. He knows the facts on the ground. It's interesting. I found only after seeing Rav Azriel Orbach's psak. If you look on the bottom of the psakim of Rav Yosha, who happens to be his father-in-law, he paskins bizman shayipigayim u'mulchamas be'Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosha wrote this psak years ago. When there are terrorist attacks, when there's war in Eretz Yisrael, the tziva of the vno shel yisrael Eretz Yisrael lomo neishem afachel of meaning Yosha b'layos mizeh. He's afraid. He's not going to sleep at night. Tzarech l'shmo la'aviv. His father-in-law, Rav Yosha, passed him the same thing. Imprint.
This is still only taking into account, let's say, Bacher going there.
Oh, no. Or the shallows in Ramon. A married guy, too.
That's also for a married guy?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Rav Azriel Orbach, the question that was posed to him was by a married person.
The shaila was that the wife wants to return.
No, I didn't say that. Right? That's a shaila. So goodbye, shaila.
She says no.
Right.
No.
If she's bought. Right.
That shuts it all up.
Yeah. No love doctor. But, yeah. Yes, Chaim, what are you dining?
I was saying everything we just read says the opposite. So,
right. Correct. But the psak comes from the fact that Lamaisa, when these shilohs are not talking about shilohs of pikuach nefesh. That which we say one can disobey the parents and go and learn, that's in a vacuum. But when you inject the issue of pikuach nefesh here, it makes it a different shiloh. Yeah. Your parents are telling you, I want you to stay in America, not because I don't want you to learn. It's a very good point, Arjun. I want you to learn. Just do it here, not there. I'm afraid for your life. That's a different thing. For that, pikuach nefesh type of shiloh. Right, the Shulchan Aruch does talk about ma'alilin, right? They're doing something. But there's madrigas. Yeah.
What is ma'alilin mean?
Right? Making trouble. They're hawks. But this is pikuach nefesh.
But there's always like issues in it. Like you always have
little things going on.
You always have the risk here.
I'll show you. Now you might say, so Rev, you know, Rav Zira Auerbach has like, you know, overdid the Shalat Pikuach Nefesh. I don't think so. I'll give you a tzir also. He was asked another shaylah. I'm going to switch now to a second shaylah. And I'll come back to talking about people not going to Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva. Learning Torah, the shaylah was asked to him, also by a Kollel person, who's currently learning in Kollel. But previously, he served in the IDF as part of the Golani Brigade, Chashava unit. And he, right now, the fact that he's learning, he has a patur. But he also was trained that he's able to go and fight. Should he leave the Beis Midrash to go and learn? Another tough shiloh posed to Rev Azriel Auerbach.
Now you're asking which supports which, the weapon or the mara?
Not necessarily, but the question is, he has the ability to do both. He's learning right now and can continue doing that, but he also was trained. He's not just, you know, a random person. He was trained in this brigade. So Rav Auerbach gives the following clarification. He says, look, right now the mission of the army is a mission of deterrence. Is right now there's a dangerous situation, is that the terrorists are running amok, Hamas is running amok, and you have to stop Hamas because there's going to be future attacks on Jewish people and we have to wipe them out. The strategy is we have to wipe them out in order to get protection. Now, you know, obviously in the strategy, it's twofold. Not so possible to wipe them out. And if we do wipe them out, who says they'll solve our problems? But the Maisa right now, it's hard to call that everyone, you know, we could debate this. You know, I'm telling you over Azriel's perspective. Orbach's perspective is right now, There's not an issue of, I want to be careful how I say it, I'll quote over exact lashon. If there was a clearly defined person or group of people who are being threatened to be killed at this very moment, these people are threatened to be killed at this very moment, and by being in the army you'd be able to save them, then you'd be obligated to enlist in the army, lo samar al dam riacha. Since currently at this stage of the war, it's a deterrent for future events. It's not considered pikuach nefesh mamish right in front of you. Right? And he says, what about the hostages? He says, even that, there's no thing that any given soldier could do for them. In general, people could do. Therefore, you're not obligated to enlist in the army and given the choice, it's better for you to sit and learn and accomplish that way going into the army. Now, if there was a situation, someone's life is at Shiloh right now, and you have the ability to do something, you have to be the one to take action, for sure.
No one soldier can act in a vacuum or will be matzliach on his own.
Correct.
It's the whole entity, so the more people who are added to the entity, the
right. But I assume the part what he's saying about the hostages is there's no shortage of soldiers right now, to my knowledge.
But everything else,
right? Perfect, Garrett. They had more soldiers, enlisting than they ever anticipated.
Sort of
they didn't have enough resources for that. Right.
If he's able to perform that mitzvah and there's more people who can stay back and do the learning, then maybe he would be achrayi to go. If there's more
soldiers
than learners,
so, but there's one that because he's trained, so there's a hierarchy with the soldiers, and he can do a lot more by supervising many more soldiers in order for them to do right. So
depending on how you grip the shayla, yeah. He's gripping it. There's no vade pekuach nefesh right now in any one person, aside from the hostages.
But
even Lagabi the hostages, he didn't think that by him enlisting, right, if he was the special forces that was going to go in, and it'll make a difference if he was there or not, then I hear the talk being different.
Why?
But since he's not. So
over here, he's possibly there's no pekuach nefesh when it comes to the.
Oh, so that's what I wanted to point out.
Since the pekuach nefesh right in front of you.
Right. And there's different levels. Whereas for me, lo samod adam reyacha is the pekuach nefesh right in front of me now. So for legabi the din lo samod adam reyacha, I have to go up and have to save a Jew's life. So then, okay, for that, there's no pekuach nefesh right now. But to put yourself to go to Eretz Yisrael and put yourself in a situation where bombs are falling, and Rahman said there could be terrorist attacks, infiltration at any point, right? We know every neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael now is dangerous because, right, the Metzias is, for the most part, the streets of Yerushalayim are empty. Oh, fun. You just sent me a letter this week. The Metzias is, look, there are Arabs everywhere, and, you know, one firecracker, you know, sends them off. You know, it's dangerous. And the army's over there, the army's not necessarily over here. It's a dangerous situation.
So why wouldn't it be
pekuach nefesh? Every spot in Israel is kimat pekuach nefesh.
So yes and no. There's madrigas pekuach nefesh. Right? There's, right? We could talk lots of different shilohs. You know, are you... Are you allowed to carry over a gun? Are you allowed to carry a phone with you at all moments? Because it's always pekuach nefesh. You know, these things are tricky. But right now, there's no gun pointed at any one individual in Eretz Yisrael. That's pekuach nefesh.
Right.
To the degree of losama, that I have to go and see whatever I can do to save someone.
But
is it a dangerous situation to put yourself in to be in Eretz Yisrael right now? Yes. I'll show you another shayla on this, which depicts the pekuach nefesh element. There's a shayla posed, again, to Rav Orbach, of an old lady living in Ashkelon. This woman, Ashkelon, is in the south, and it's been hit a lot through missiles. It's easier to hit. And this woman, you know, unfortunately, you have to run to the bomb shelter, she has a sealed room, but she's basically saying to them, she's very comfortable, she has, this lady writes, My gut feeling is that since I have complete bitachon, if I stay in Ashkelon, I'll be okay. So, you know, I'm very comfortable here. Her kids are harassing her. Hey, come move to Yerushalayim, where we have less, what's it called?
Less action.
Now, to be honest, it really, right? When we say less action, everything's relative. Someone gave me a good description. It's a bad description, but it's a good description of what the situation is. He says, you constantly hear fighter jets in the streets of Yerushalayim, always. It's as if there's a highway on top of you at all times hearing, you know, like you hear, you live near the I-95, you hear cars going all the time. That's what it feels like walking around Yerushalayim. Constantly, constantly, aircrafts above you, Patriot missiles above you, rockets. Right, you could all see the rockets right there. It's quite heavy. But anyway, Rav Orbach Paskin, he understood the situation of this old lady. He said, Afal Pikin, he says, you should move to Yerushalayim. Even though it's harder for you, and you feel very comfortable, he says, the rule Vishnatim Esnaf Shechem is that you're obligated to do whatever you can to make sure your life is protected and you're not in danger. Since being shelled constantly with missiles is considered life-threatening, and you're in a situation of danger where you're living, if you're able to move, the correct course of action is to move to Yerushalayim, where there is less danger. So everything is a balance. Yeah, this old lady wants to live life as she's doing in Ashkelon. And she's comfortable, she's saying Tillim, she's going to the bomb shelter, but her people are asking her to come to Yerushalayim.
The question was because they're asking. The question is because for her, even the vet
right.
wouldn't know anything.
Right. Correct.
His job list that she's doing isn't sufficient. There's more to tell her to be doing.
Exactly. Now, once we're on this topic, I'll give you another Shiloh. Unfortunately, on Friday, there was a big Leviathan. There was a big Leviathan Eretz Yisrael for Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi. Very chashuv Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Ataris Yisrael, Nifter at 94. Tremendous koch, amazing, amazing person. This for Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi was really one of the Gedolei Hador. I sent a Talmud of mine, went to Leviathan. It was a big Leviathan, but in Eretz Yisrael standards, it was small. And it was interesting, even the Israeli police were handling it. They ended up pushing off the Leviah one day because, which they never do in Eretz Yisrael, because this, the only son of the Sefer Ezrachi was fundraising in Mexico and couldn't get back. So they waited a day to do the Leviah, and they also, it seems, didn't spread it. I don't know if that meant they didn't have the cars with the audio on top going around the neighborhoods. I assume they did, but they kept it a little more low key. It was in Beit Vegan. And the reason I heard the Israeli police did that because they were afraid of being a target for missiles, right? Especially the Metzias is, so the most time they have Leviahs, it's not inside a building, right? There are open areas, right? The Leviah was held outside. You could kept fit it. It's easy targets. And when the crowd or someone, there's nowhere to move, and people can get hushed from the trampled. But you look, there was a relatively small crowd for that Leviah. And my son told me that in some of the yeshivas, they were telling the Bachrim, and the yeshiva said the Pharisees, we take no achrayas for anyone going to the Leviah. They weren't stopping them, but they were telling them, we're not telling you to go. We're telling you we can't take achrayas if you decide to go there. In general, the yeshivas are very strong on not allowing the Talmidim to go out anywhere. And included in that is Leviah. Now one might ask, well, Leviah is a big deal. From a Vatlan Talmud Torah for Kavanah Torah, everyone should have closed their Gemaras, leave the base matters, and go to Leviah. So Kavanah Torah is Docha Talmud Torah. It's greater than Talmud Torah. But everything is a balance. It's not, what about Pikuach Nefesh? When you have a Shiloh Pikuach Nefesh, Talmud Torah, Kavanah Torah, it's not so poshut. Now, one could debate how much Pikuach Nefesh is this. Is this real chashash? Not a chashash. Not simple. I'll up it another thing. What about here in America? I'll give you multiple tzirah. Tzirah number one, we'll start with Torah. Tonight, there's going to be a gathering of, I believe, they're expecting 10,000 Jews. They're having a siyum for the halfway point of Daf Yomi. They're making a big event in Bell Works in New Jersey, the old Edison Bell Labs. Right. Now that happens to be, it's a privately owned place. It's not like a public arena, and it's owned by Jewish people, and I assume they'll have very tight security. But the Kiddush Yisrael of America is sponsoring this event to have a siyum. And they're encouraging people to go. Now, that's, and one of the phrases they use in encouraging people to go is Torah Megina, Torah protects. Now, again, that same argument one could argue, right? If anything, right, it's more clear the element of Kavanah Torah for a Leviah of someone who was Mamish, who was Marvitz Torah the Rabbin. Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi was one of the most successful Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He built up his own yeshiva. He did a tremendous amount of kirov.
That's also your only chance to do that.
Right, right. So if anything, I hear the Torah, the element of Torah Metzilo Magina, Lamaisa by Leviah is even a bigger deal. Not necessarily everybody went to that Leviah. Not so poshut. Right? Similarly, the shalos they asked before about a girl going to Eretz Yisrael for seminary. Again, it's not by a woman, it's not the same din of Talmud Torah. And Mamela, that's also Pashat. Not the same thing as a boy being, I very much hear it sad for parents, is nervous about their child to bring them home. from the seminar. Okay, it might cost you. You have to refund the tuition. It may not let you come back. But Lemaisa, these things are not so poshut. Even to visit Eretz Yisrael right now, it's a wonderful thing people are doing for these missions. But don't think these things are a joyride and it's the type of duty you could do without asking a shayla. It's a major shayla. I know there are Rabbanim and wonderful people go, but it's a shayla. It's not poshut. Now, I remember back, I'll give you one seer, years ago in the 90s, this is before 9/11. I still remember this. By the Sima Shas, they had at the end of the 90s, Rav Hanoch was very nervous about having an event. That time they moved it up, now big scale, doing Madison Square Garden. And this was already after the first World Trade Center bombing, which was a relatively small event. Reb Hanoch said, I know so poshut. All Jews together should be nervous to go through a thing. How good is making it? That didn't suffice for Reb Hanoch. He sent the shayl to Rabbi Yoshev. I believe Rabbi Yoshev passed him then that it was okay. But you know, now, you know, I hear a shayla when it comes to a Torah dika thing. I hear a shayla when it comes to a protest. I saw the other day there was something that the Arabs are going to flood Times Square. And they want the Jews to have a counter-protest. These things are not poshut. In America yesterday, you know, in New York, they had 7,000 Arabs show up, shut down the Brooklyn Bridge. It's not poshut. Now, Baruch Hashem, they have a good police presence, but it's not so clear that you know that it's always the right thing in the right time and the right place to organize a big amount of Jews to counter-protest, definitely with other people there. I can hear it, Shaila, even if other people aren't there, just a big Jewish protest outside in an area. These things are not simple. It's a shayla taken to account, even in America, is you have to be worried about the things. So, Lemaisa, that's a sombering thought, but this is halacha. You know, not so simple how to weigh these things. And you need gedolim to pass from these shaylas. I want to end with something that hit me. And I want to read the words of Rav Azriel Orbach, again, translated to English, which hit me a certain way. And we'll end with that. So again, we talked about today learning in yeshiva versus the parents. We talked about learning in yeshiva versus serving in your brigade. We talked about the old lady in Ashkelon switching your dira, your apartment, to be in a place where there are less frequency of missiles. Talked about going to major events at a time like this where there's a chance of chas v'shalom, you know, attacks. But the question was asked was, to what extent are we obligated to emphasize in Davin for the hostages in Gaza? That was a question posed to Rav Azriel Orbach. Listen to his response, and to me, his response is probably the hardest thing I heard to do during the war. I think it'd be easy to stay up 24 hours a day packing boxes than to do what he's asked people to do in this column, in this answer. He writes, "It fills my heart with the greatest pain and anguish to even think about this terrible tragedy." I read that first sentence, I'm like, oh wow, I can relate. Like, it's so torturous to even think about what's going on to the hostages, about their plight. He writes, "Nevertheless, you should try and feel as if your own children had been captured, Rahman al-Fan. If this was the case, you'd be devastated, screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah, running to tzaddikim to get brachos, giving large sums of tzedakah as a merit for their freedom, and doing everything, every possible shalos that exists to get them out. After you start to connect to the above scenario, then you should daven for these captives to be freed with a broken heart and eyes filled with tears. This is the level of empathy and tefillah that Jew must have for his fellow Jews who are being brutally tortured and their families who are suffering so much, not knowing where they are, what is happening to them. To me, this is possibly the hardest halacha that any one of us faces. Might be one of the hardest halachas anyone's faced in a lifetime. To really empathize. Again, I think he encapsulates very well. This is the degree of what it means to empathize. Obviously, you're not doing this all day. He says you empathize, and then you translate that right then, say it to Kippetel Tehillim. After you spend time thinking about this, that then you go into saying Tehillim. Obviously, a person needs to accomplish, a person needs to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you just think about these things, we're depressed, we're broken, we can't do anything. And that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, it's a chiyuv. This is a psak halacha from probably one of the biggest poskim in the world today. This is what it means in Mishnat Batzara. Very, very hard to appreciate. Very, very hard. But I'll just end with this thought. You know, one of the things that we struggle with, and I think in a certain sense, it's very easy to do, is when you read the news, you hear about the malicious and callous way, whether the media or the college campuses or other people, your Uber driver, refer to the situation in Eretz Yisrael and the lack of just basic humanity that all these people have, we get upset about that. That's an easy thing also to get upset about. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, we should. But with everything, like Hashem wants us, we can't control other people. We can control ourselves. Is the Maisa, perhaps as a schus, the more that we empathize with the people there and really picture what they're going through and turn that into tefillah, as Hashem, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will empathize with us. And all the, we don't have to worry about changing the college campus, the media. That's not the battle. The chiyuv is for us to become better Jews, understand other people's pain. Be'ezus Hashem, we should daven, and just like in other times, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our tefillos, and we were saved. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zochet to such Yeshuas. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen.